Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for today. I ask that you deliver people from condemnation, from self-justification, from fearing of that their works don't measure up, everything except willful disobedience, Lord. We know that there's condemnation on that. Thank you, Father, for doing that today in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to call this Salvation is Not by Self Works. And first revelation I'm going to share is from Tiatira 1:1-23. Smitten, but not destroyed. Amen. I saw a woman on her elbows and knees on the ground in sorrow and grief, in physical and spiritual pain. This woman, we believe, represents the corporate body of Christ who are faithless and hopeless in the apostate church. Many are under condemnation. I felt she was going through trials and tribulations and giving in to her soul and flesh rather than allowing her spirit man to be in control. Rather than believing the word and walking by faith, she was giving in to her physical sight and feelings of pain and suffering. And she gives 2 Corinthians 5:7 from the NENT, that's the Numeric English New Testament. They both, Tiana and her husband, used the NENT, which is good. For we walk through faith and not through sight. This is true. And I would say, too, Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And living after the Spirit, of course, is to believe what the Spirit tells you about yourself, your situation, and what Jesus did for you as far as his sacrifice. I then saw in the Spirit demons around this woman pushing her down and hitting her. And although she was humbled on the ground, the demons were constantly hitting her because she was letting the demons attack her and not casting them off. She was unknowingly giving the devil power over her through her faith in the devil and the curse. Okay, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I felt the Lord was allowing this to happen to get her to a place where she will use her faith to walk in authority and in the Spirit. Yes, many people are beaten down because they've got their eyes on themselves and not on the Lord and not on what he said he did at the cross. And it can continue until people repent and be justified by faith. So sometimes the Lord allows us to be backed into a corner by the devil so that when we have nothing left to lose, we can come out swinging and fighting. And this is unfortunate, but oftentimes the case because many Christians are either ignorant or spiritually lazy. We have to be faithful to use that authority that he gave us. As I've said so many times, if you don't fight, you will lose. I'm talking about in the spirit realm, too, not talking about in the physical realm. And she gives Luke 10:19. Lo, I have given you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Yes, indeed. And also, I might add, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So we know the Lord bore the curse. He bore the sin, and he bore the curse that comes with the sin. And if you don't believe that, you will get beat up by the devil. I felt that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, she said, and God was allowing the demons to do to her what she was permitting them to do. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, only human temptation hath overtaken you. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way out, that you may be able to endure it. We know what the way out is. The way out is stand your ground, confess your sins, believe that they're taken away, as the Bible says, and then go after the devil, go after the demons that are tormenting. Of course, forgive everyone while you're at it. We do everything for babies, but as they get older, they are expected to do it for themselves. And also, we see in Job, the Lord allows Satan to try us in order to show us our hidden faults and also bring us into spiritual maturity. She said, I then saw Jesus walk over to her and without any effort pull a demon off of her and throw it far away behind him. And then the other demons fled. He then got down on her level and grabbed her head and stood her up. Her hand, excuse me, and stood her up. So just as in the parable of the prodigal son, the father ran to meet him where he was and brought him the rest of the way home. Amen. So if we cry out to God and turn to him, he will help. She was comforted and strengthened in faith and boldness, and he wiped away the tears from her eyes, which reminds us of Revelation 21 and 4. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are gone. Well, we are new creations in Christ, and the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We are to believe that. Okay. And then this one we call the keys of the kingdom are useless if we don't use them. And this was given to Deb Horton, 12:25-22. Recently, we've been having an adventure here in the RV campground with this historically cold weather and have lost our water due to it being frozen, so I haven't been able to cook. And Willard and I are also among the unwashed masses. I believe this is symbolic of the water of the Word being frozen in people's lives. While our water was frozen, the Lord gave me this dream. Yeah, well, also, and as we will see, people have been cold towards God's Word. It has become frozen and ineffective in their lives. So she says, in extreme dim light, almost complete darkness, I saw the biggest, most massive key ring you can imagine, and it was loaded to the gills with all different kinds of keys, practically layers of keys. The keys were various kinds of metal. Some looked extremely old and had surface oxidation because of their age. And they were crushed against each other, and there was no way to fit even one more key on the ring. In other words, they are unable to be used to lock or unlock anything, which means, of course, to bind or loose anything. You've been given this authority. If you're not using it, you'll be in trouble. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 and 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you believe it? And Jesus said, Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Do you believe you've received? If you don't, if you keep looking at self in the mirror instead of Jesus in the mirror, you're not believing the gospel, you're not going to have any progress. Repent and believe. So many Christians are not taking the keys that Jesus gave to them and using them. They're all still crushed together on their key ring, unusable. Amen. I asked Father to give me a word by faith at random to help us understand what this is about. And I received by random computer Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Mm-hmm. And let it be the thing you think on too, right? The word of Christ is the keys to the benefits of the kingdom. It must dwell in us richly in order for us to bind and loose. Amen. And Tiana Fire got this on 12:31:22. Fear not, for I am with thee. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me through my husband, Samuel, and I felt the presence of God strongly. However, my flesh was fearful, as I could feel parts of my old nature dying. It was being washed away, and the Holy Spirit was increasing inside of me. I feel sometimes my flesh fears dying to self, although the spirit and soul desire it, and the enemy knows he is defeated and works with the flesh to grasp at every straw in order to survive. Yes, that's true. Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. See, when we walk by faith, we get power from God to overcome. When we believe what the devil tells us about what we aren't and what we can't be and how bad we are and look behind you, what did you do, and all these things, you're just going to be cast down because you're not obeying. Right? I was really just desiring to hold on to Jesus, and I was agreeing with the Spirit and not wanting to give in to the flesh's fear. Well, when we are faithful to receive the word of the Lord through his vessels and submit to it, our spiritual man is strengthened as it is washed clean from the filthiness of the old man. Samuel represents our spiritual husband, Jesus, right? And when we submit ourselves to the authority of his word, we bear his fruit in our lives. So, she went on to say, I then saw to my right Jesus' giant hand coming through the roof of our home and rest in front of mine, indicating and welcoming me to hold his hand. I put my hand where I saw his, and I felt an abundance of peace and comfort, knowing that he is always there and he won't let us go. He knows what I am experiencing and he will get me through it. He has already gone through it all for me. Yeah, Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And also, I'm thinking of John 16:33. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? If you let the devil beat you down and discourage you and all because you're looking at yourself in the mirror, well, it's your fault. You're not believing the gospel, the good news. He is patiently waiting for us also to grab his hand, she said, and I would say, and lean upon his strength. Amen. And she gives Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Okay, Samuel fire. Got this. 12:8-22. We called it deep water trials. Deep water trials. In prayer, I heard the Father say, declare my works and my word. Be alive in my word and live it with your whole heart. Await my blessings in the journey towards me. Do not question whether or not they will come, but expect my blessings to come. Keep moving towards the goal in Christ and keep desiring to change into the image and character of my Son. I then had a vision of a person swimming alone in deep, open water late at night, and there was no moonlight. Well, swimming in water in the dark represents going through trials in our ignorance, right? There's no light. These dark waters represent the curses of this world that we are buried under from birth. If the person stopped swimming, they would sink under the water and drown. Well, swimming or treading water, I believe, represents fighting to escape the curse of this world using the water of the Word so that we can overcome death and have the life of Christ. He went on to say, if you flee from crucifying the flesh, you will fall away from Jesus. However, the person gracefully, gently, and calmly kept swimming towards the land. In other words, cooperating with Jesus during the refining process, right? And I would say that Jesus is represented by the land, and he is the anchor for our souls through the rough, watery trials of life. And we must endure these trials to reach our promised land, who is Christ himself, abiding in him. The person rejected all thoughts and feelings of fear, panic, doubt, unbelief, and vain imaginations about what could happen to them. They instead stayed focused on their goal to get to the land. Well, the devil loves to remind us of all the monsters in the deep, and he tries to get us to be fearful so that he can prevent us from reaching our promised land. They got through the trial by trusting in God's word, he says, and by doing spiritual warfare and prayer. Amen. So when you do spiritual warfare, know you have authority to do that, even sending the angels against the demons, principalities, and powers, and so on. The person didn't race or rush or burn themselves out, but they kept a steady pace, and they didn't stop at all. They eventually got to the land, and they couldn't be happier. Well, slow and steady wins the race, right? He said, I believe that the lesson of this vision is don't try to run ahead of God or do your own works, but rest in the finished works of Christ and wait patiently for his promises to manifest. Yes, be patient with yourself. Be patient with the word. You know, just keep plodding on, right? In Tiana Fire, 12:12-22, gave us this. We called it, he drew me out of deep waters. Amen. I had a vision of myself submerged 55 yards deep underneath open water, far out in the ocean. Wow. Well, the number 55 could represent twofold grace, you know. Below me, the water was so dark, and I could see that the only light was above the water. Well, that's just as in Samuel's revelation above, these waters represent the curses of this world and that we are buried under from birth. And she said, darkness is separated and pushed away from the light. John 1 and 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Amen. Well, Jesus is the light, right? And his word enlightens us. John 12 and 35. Jesus therefore said unto them, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of the light. You have to believe on the light to be sons of the light. What God has said about you is very important. He believes in the sacrifice of his son, and it's a covering for you. I kept swimming and moving to get to the top where the light was. Well, this represents having a love and a desire for our Father and the Lord Jesus. I didn't want to fall any further down into the darkness, and I wanted to get to the top quickly so no creatures would find me. This probably represents fighting to escape the curses of this world and the demons that take advantage of it. The curses represent the deep, dark waters. The waters are both blessing and cursing, as God told Moses. And when we're in the water, we swim towards the light, which is Jesus, the Word made flesh. And as we swim towards the light, we overcome the curse of sin and death to have the life of Christ. And she went on to say, we must avoid the enemy and the grasp of the world. And I believe she's speaking here probably of the creatures of the deep, right? The demons, so to speak, that hide in the darkness and work in the curse, right? 1 Timothy 2:26, and they may sober up from the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto that one's will. I just wanted to get out of the water and get to the light. It seemed difficult and took much physical energy to finally swim to the top. Well, fighting our flesh nature to escape the curses of the world is a difficult trial. She went on to say, nothing can be achieved by ourselves. We must rely completely on the Lord's strength. In Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. And also Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. Amen, amen. When I got to the top, I took my first breath, and it was so wonderful to be able to breathe in the air. Well, taking in a breath is taking in the Spirit of God, because they are the same word in Scripture. Taking in the breath of life, she says, and being filled with His Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a big achievement to finally get out of the water, and I was happy to be able to rest and to be above the water. All representing a triumph in the victory of Christ. Amen. He's already overcome the world for us. Amen. And we have to believe that. However, there was no land or boat in sight. There was literally nothing but water as far as I could see. There was no raft, literally nothing that I could do to get out of this water. The open waters force us into the release of ourselves and our independence, and to completely rely and believe in the God of our salvation, walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk through faith and not through sight. True. After writing up all this, I put it down, and then I had another vision. I saw myself deep under the open water again, but I saw Jesus as a giant, and he was looking at me from above the water into the light. He reached his hand to me and pulled me up to the top of the water, representing his love and grace to save us. And she gives Matthew 14:31. And straightway Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, Thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I realized that in the previous vision, it wasn't me swimming to the top, but it was Jesus pulling me up. And I couldn't physically see him there before. Praise you, Lord, we can do nothing without you. Amen. But I might add, we can do all things through you. Amen. So, out in the open water, only God could pick us up with his hand and bring us up to him. Or only he can send other people as his hand to help. And we are completely and totally reliant on him for everything, including our breath and existence. Thank you, our wonderful Heavenly Father, for drawing us to you and setting us free and doing more for us than we could ever understand. Thank you for bringing us out of the darkness and into the light, and for bringing us through all these trials. Thank you that you have carried us our whole life, and you will continue to carry us into eternity. It's all you. Well, amen. And I'd like to share 2 Samuel 22:2-23. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, even mine. God my rock, in him will I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. For the waves of death compassed me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. Yea, I called unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came into his ears. In verse 17, he sent from on high, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. How do you get clean hands? Well, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You have to believe Okay. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. Amen. Keep your eyes on his word. Amen. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks, 11:5-22. And we called it, When We Rest in God, We Receive His Life. Yes, some people are struggling against their sin. They want to please God. And he tells you that the way is rest. And rest comes from faith. So Vanessa said, In a dream, my husband Barry and I, along with people of UBM, were living in a large old mansion with many rooms. And John 14:2-4, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know the way. And of course, Jesus said, He is the way. Watch his footprints, right? We were on the second floor of the mansion, and I remember seeing a large chandelier hanging from the hall from the second floor ceiling, which was also open to the first floor. Well, a chandelier has many crystal ornaments that refract the light into the colors of the rainbow, and the rainbow symbolizes God's promise and faithfulness to mankind. Amen. And Barry said this. He said, This light could be seen from both floors. God gives light to people at each stage of their growth. Amen. Amen. Everything you need is in the Word, right? Isaiah 28:9-10. Whom will he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Well, let me point out, it is precept upon precept. You got to get the precept he gives you that you need for the next step. Okay? And it's line upon line. You read one line before you read the next, right? So if you're not doing what you know to do now, how do you expect to go to the next step? Believe what God says. That's how you get there. His power comes through your faith. And also, I'd like to read Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I only remember walking on the second floor, but I knew there were several small rooms on the first floor that were bedrooms. The front door led to the area under the chandelier, and then the bedrooms were just down the hall. Well, the front door, of course, is Jesus, according to the Word, through whom all must enter to come into God's kingdom, right? John 10:7-9 says this, Jesus therefore said unto them, Again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Well, these are apostate leaders that lead people astray, you know. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. And the pasture represents the bedrooms where we find rest through Christ. Amen. So Vanessa went on to say, I was walking around on the second floor looking for a bed for Zoe. And Barry said, Zoe is a Greek word for life. That's right. And only when we rest in God do we receive his life. I saw a bed across the way from where I was, and I grabbed a rope and swung over to the bed. It was hard to do, and I held on to the left bedpost with my left hand, and it broke, and I had to let it go, or I would not make it on to the bed. This was hard because I was thinking it was the only way to get on the bed. Well, it's very easy to get on the bed. But she was pointing out trying in your own strength was not going to get you there, right? Faith in the promises is the only way to enter the rest. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 says this, Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, notice that the promises get you into the rest, right? Corporately they do. Any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us. You have to believe it. And even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. There is the key. Put your faith, add your faith to the promises, and you will see the victory. Amen. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works of God are already finished. We enter into those through faith. It's the only way into the rest. If you're struggling and striving and anxious and troubled, fighting against your sins, you must enter into the rest. That's where the answer is. You must believe the promises. But as I let it go, I had a renewed strength to hold on to the bed frame with my right hand and swing myself over onto the bed. So we must let go of the things of the flesh and the world to have the rest and the life of God. It is not by our works. It's by God's works. And she gives Zechariah 4 and 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice, it's not by your power, your might, anything you could do, anything you can look to do, but it's by God's Spirit. God's Spirit moves on your behalf when you believe and confess his promises. Jesus took away your sins. He took away your sicknesses. It's gone. Believe it. Then I was able to rest on the bed, and then I woke up. Oh, praise be to God. I thought of Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. To the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. So, we want to have the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ. And we apprehend this through his power which comes to us when we enter into the rest, because we believe his promises, right? And that last verse there, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, that sounds ludicrous to a lot of people because of their teaching and their wrongful leaders that bring them discouragement. But this is a promise that God made in his word, and he means it. Or he wouldn't have put it in his word. And Samuel Fire, 12:12-22, got this. The accuser always tries to remind us of our debts. Mm-hmm. That's true. He wants you to look behind you instead of looking forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ, right? I dreamt that we just moved to a dusty, hot, outback town, and we had lots of broken wooden items under our carport to remove as rubbish, representing getting rid of the wood, hay, and stubble of our lives. I probably would suggest that's true. The trash of the flesh nature tries to crowd out the place of rest for our earthly vehicles or mobile tabernacles, represented by the carport here, right? So I called up a man who lived in the town that had a handyman service to remove it all. And when I spoke to him, he said that it wouldn't cost me anything to have him do it. Well, the ways of man are deceitful, and there's always a price to pay one way or another, as we will see. It's not a help from man that we're looking for. It's a help from God. And thank you, Lord, for that. He came around and removed it all that same day. And this probably represents relying on the ways of the world and man to clean ourselves up. But he goes on to say, the following week, I needed to get something else done through him, so I went to his building, and there were many other people lined up waiting for his services. Yep, that's where most people go, to man. And this is representing, he says, seeking worldly methods instead of God's methods. True, true. And God's methods are of faith and rest in his promises, that it has already been accomplished by Jesus at the cross. It's already done. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. All things, he said, whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received, because we received it at the cross. If you're begging God, you're missing it. It's already been given. You start thanking God, right? So I waited in line for my turn, which took a long time. And then when it was my time to speak with him, I told him what I needed done. And he then told me that I had to pay him $230 from when he removed the things from our carport. So with man, there's always a catch, he says, you know. You can't escape the curse. Man's methods only shift the curse from one area of our lives to another. Jeremiah 17:5-9. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, like a tumbleweed, right, in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Look, good has come. Jesus has done it. What are you looking for? Believe you have received, right? A salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, or drought cometh, right? But its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Amen. I was really annoyed and frustrated because he had said that it was free before. And if I had known it would cost so much, I wouldn't have had him do it. Well, the devil always tells you, it's easy, just do this. To go to this man, right? But the Lord wants us to go to him by faith. If you believe you have received everything you ask of him, where else do you need to go? Relying on man's methods is time-consuming, frustrating, and it drains us of our financial resources. But everything that comes from God's free, right? And we will ultimately regret what it costs, right? I felt that he had just made up this random number in payment so he could get extra money. I angrily told the man that I won't be able to pay until Wednesday, which was 2 days away. Okay, keep that in your mind. Wednesday is named for the god Woden, who is paralleled with the Roman god Mercury, probably because both gods shared attributes of eloquence, the ability to travel, the guardianship of the dead. The wages of sin is death, we know. And when we trust in the arm of the flesh, the curse of death is upon us, and we will ultimately pay with our lives. Yes, so many people have run to get the vaccines, and now they're so sorry they did, because they trusted in man. And even men that everybody knows, or I should say most people know, are people that want to cut down the population. So these are the people who are in charge, by the way, of the drugs and the medicine. So paying the debt 2 days away represents that 2,000 years ago Jesus paid our debt. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So 2,000 years goes back to Jesus and what he did at the cross, right? And today it is fulfilled only when we accept it by faith. So we pay what we need to pay on this end. And what is it? Faith in the promise that happened 2,000 years ago. If we do not accept his sacrifice, then the wages of sin is death. He said that won't work and that he needs it now or our electricity would be canceled. Representing threats and attacks on our minds by the enemy to keep us in fear and reliance on the world's ways instead of God's ways. Yes, and we know that the enemy is a liar. Only when we walk by faith do we have any power. He can't take our power, right? I replied to him that I would only be able to pay if God gives me the money for it, and he wants me to pay you. If God doesn't provide the money for it, then I know that you lied about me having to pay you this money. And then I woke up. Well, true. Satan will always try to remind us of our past debts and convince us that they are still owed. Yes, and you're very foolish if you listen to that. You still owe for your past debts. They've been thrown in the depths of the sea, right? And Anna Stewart got this on 11/8/22. We called it, "Our Heavenly Husband Has Paid All Our Debts." Oh, yeah. "Last night I dreamed that my husband, Matthew, and I were vacationing in Germany." Well, Matthew means gift of God and represents Jesus, who is God's gift to humanity to reconcile us back to Him. And Anna went on to say, "Germany is representing the roots of my flesh nature, since that is half of my biological heritage." So we must not give our flesh a vacation from its crucifixion, right? We were sitting in the lobby of a gift shop representing all the world has to offer. In front of us was a little display of leather, handcrafted purses, and so on. Well, leather represents fleshly works because it is the clothing of a beast, right? And we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning we put on His works and not the works of the old man, the beast, right? And the purse represents storing up our mammon, which Jesus forbade us to do. So this is fleshly works too. Each purse was unique. Everyone has their own fleshly struggles, and none can think that they are better because they don't have someone else's problems, right? We've all got some problems, and we need to address them and overcome. The promises to overcomers. I picked up a small brown purse and admired how beautiful it was, and I don't think I was planning on buying it, but thought it would be harmless to look. There was no price tag, but it seemed we had been to this shop 4 years previously and that the purses cost $120 at that time. So I reasoned that they probably cost a little more than that now. Well, we must be careful not to fall into the trap of admiring the things of the world. It seems harmless initially, but it's a trap to draw us away from the kingdom, and it comes at a high cost, as we will see. You know, if you don't want to buy, don't look, because then your lusts come into play. You know, you got to have that, right? Well, Matthew began to show me something on his phone, but I don't know what it was. It was representing distractions, I believe. Well, again, Matthew, as a type of Jesus, wrote in Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. God will allow the enemy, represented by the phone, to distract us and lead us into a temptation to indulge in our fleshly desires. In other words, don't look if you don't want to buy. This is what opens the door for the enemy in our lives, right? As I was watching his phone screen, I began to mindlessly start eating the purse. representing partaking of the flesh, right? It wasn't until he was done showing me whatever it was that I realized that I had eaten the whole purse. I was a little shocked at the realization of what I had done. Well, the enemy is sneaky and causes us to unwittingly err from God's ways. In the Old Testament, a person who sinned unintentionally had to provide their own sacrifice, as in Numbers 15, 27, and 28. And if a one person sin unwittingly, then he shall offer a she-goat a year old for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for the soul that erreth when he sitteth unwittingly before the Lord, to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. But in the New Testament, the Bible says in James 4:17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So in the New Testament, believers have the blood covering of Jesus when they sin unintentionally. And he has already taken care of our debts. Some people don't believe this, and they get into a lot of trouble because the devil condemns and condemns and condemns them for something they did that was an accident, you know, to them. I went to the front counter and told the dark-haired woman behind the desk that I had done what I had done, and at first she just said, "Oh, don't worry about it." And when we fail, we need to get back to justification by faith. But I insisted that I was at fault and had to pay something. Some people do that. They just feel like, well, I got to get a whipping, you know. Well, this represents self-works because of condemnation. And then she changed her mind. I gave permission to the enemy by unbelief in the sacrifice of Jesus. She then told me that that purse cost $2,000. Well, Jesus paid our debt 2,000 years ago, she says, right? So we get into trouble when we try to pay our own debts for our sins because the devil is likely to oblige us, right? I was like, uh-oh, because I didn't have $2,000 and I was not in my home country. Well, we are sojourners in the earth and we'll never make it to our home country or our promised land as long as we believe we need to pay our own way. So I fumbled through my purse and I only had $300. Well, we never have enough to pay our debt of sin. So we should not accept condemnation, but trust in the Lord's salvation. We're justified by faith. We must hold on to the faith and not self-justification. I thought of the pure nard that Mary poured out on the feet of Jesus in preparation for his burial, being worth 300 silver coins. We already have the price paid by his death and his burial. And she went on, there were also a few bills that looked like gameplay money printed on only one side that were $2,000 bills. I wasn't sure how they got there or if they were real, so I decided not to try to use them. Well, there is no value in play money, and you can't buy forgiveness. He paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. It's as simple as that. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the good news of the gospel. I was trying to talk to different people to figure out what I could do, but no one could help me. Works for salvation, right? So at the end of the dream, we left the building and my husband Matthew, representing Jesus, went and spoke to someone I didn't see, and we were absolved of the debt and freed to go. And then I woke up. Well, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for paying our debts that we couldn't pay. We are free. Amen. How awesome. Our God has set us free from this debt. Right? Be sure and forgive your fellow man, according to Matthew 18. If you don't, he will take it back. He'll take that gift back, and you will owe a debt, and you will get a spanking. But other than that, we know that he's already paid our debts. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Good night.